This week's Parsha introduces us to the first real leader of Klal Yisrael. We're going to talk today about leadership. It's a very rare commodity in this world. People complain, no leaders anymore, quality of the leadership. We need to talk about what leadership is, what leaders look like from a Jewish perspective, for two reasons. I would call it the perspective of a producer and the perspective of a consumer. As a consumer of leadership, you have to know who are the leaders that are worthy of you making them your leaders and following them. You have to play a role in a society, in a communal system, and you have to know who are worthy, the worthy leaders of that system that you want to belong to and that you want to follow. You also have to be producers of leadership. First and foremost, you have to lead yourselves. You have to find the ways for your intellect, your seichel, your neshama, to lead you in controlling and guiding your physical instincts, your physical potential. How you operate in the physical world needs leadership. You have to lead your families. You have to lead your children. Hopefully, you could reach a level where you're also able to lead a community or to lead a group. But before you get there, you have to be a leader of yourselves and your families. And therefore, you need to know what leadership means, not just on the global communal level, but on the very personal level. But the qualities are identical. The qualities are the same. We're going to explore some of the sources, starting with Moshe Rabbeinu, to see what the Torah, what Chazal demand of leaders. So when we think of qualities, character traits, of course, the first one that everybody thinks of is humility. The next one, which is absolutely imperative, as we're going to see from the sources. The next one people think about is charisma, which is absolutely incorrect, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not a charismatic leader. So it is humility, it's not charisma. So what else is it? So the Medrash tells us that Shnei Gedolei Olam, two great people in history, Nivdiku, they were tested, they were examined. The Nimtzu Ne'emanim, they were found to be reliable. The Hevi'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGedula, and God elevated them to greatness. They were made leaders, and how were they tested? The Medrash says they were both tested in a similar way. Barak LeDavid Bitzon, David HaMelech was tested with sheep, and Moshe Rabbeinu was tested with sheep. What was the test, and how did they pass, and why was it with sheep? Says the Medrash, Ma asa David, what did David do when he was tending the flocks? Holichon lemidbar, leharchikon min hagezel. He shepherded them into the desert, into the midbar. And when you think of desert, it's not the Sahara Desert, but it's the desert when we were in Madbar Yudan, the jeeps. It's just emptiness. There's nothing there, nobody there. That's where he shepherded them because there's no ownership and there was no problem that maybe his sheep are going to eat and graze from something that doesn't belong to him. Vaf Moshe hayaro etzon yitro v'yinaheget hatzon achar hamidbar leharchikon min hagezel, to move them away from Gezel. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtzeit ne'eman al hatzon. You were found to be trustworthy. With sheep, ani emsor lechatzoni. I will now give you my sheep, my flock, of course, referring to the Jewish people. Shetinaheg, shenemar nachita ketzon amcha b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. Then there's another test that Moshe Rabbeinu was given with sheep, that the Medrash also recounts. Kishahaya Moshe Rabbeinu roet sono shel Yitro ba'midba. Moshe Rabbeinu was tending the flock of Yitro in the desert. Borach mimenu giddi. One of the goats ran away. Viratz achrav. And Moshe Rabbeinu pursued it. Ad shehigia lechasut. Till it came to a shady place. Kivan shehigia lechasut nizdamno lo brecha shel mayim. The goat found a pool of water. Omar hagedi lishtot. It went to drink. Kivan shehigia Moshe etzlo. Moshe caught up with the goat and found that he's drinking. Omar, ani lo aiti yodea sheratz hayita mipnei tzama. I didn't know you were running away because you were thirsty. Ayefata, you must be very tired now. Hirkivo al ketefo v'hayom ahalech. And he picked up the goat, carried it on his back to the flock. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yesh lecha rachamim. You have mercy. Linhog tzono shel basar v'dam. This is how kind and merciful you are to sheep belonging to another human being. Chayecho, I give you my word, atatire tzoni. Tzoni Israel. I'm going to certainly, I give you my word, you are going to be the tender of my flock, the sheep of the Almighty God. So, two lessons we've already learned. Integrity and honesty, and caring. Caring for the flock. There is a pasuk in the two psukim in this week's parsha, very redundant psukim. Rashi alludes to the problem with a partial solution, the Medrash elaborates on it, Rashi only pulls in part of the Medrash. Of course, Moshe was hidden, the daughter of Paro found him, Miriam comes, I have a Jewish wet nurse, Moshe's mother nursed him, and then, Vayigdal Hayelet, and the child grew up, Vativiyehu Levat Paro, and the child was brought to the daughter of Paro, Vayihila Levain, and it became to her a son, Vatikroshmo Moshe, and he was called Moshe, Vatomer Kimen Amayim Mishitiyu, the reason for calling him Moshe. Vayibayamim Hahem, continues the Chumash in the next, very next pasuk. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze El Echav, Vayar Besivlota. Moshe grew up, and he went out to his brothers, and he saw their suffering. So, says the Medrash, Rashi brings the question in the second Vayigdal Moshe, V'halokvar Kotav Vayigdal Hayelet. He grew up already. He already said he was Vayigdal. So what's this second Vayigdal? Okay. So, Rashi brings one approach. The Medrash says, Rashi brings this part of the Medrash not directly to answer, Natan einav vilibo liyot meitzar aleihem. He gave his eyes and his heart to be pained over them. Says the Medrash, Vayar besivlotam, mau vayar shaya roe besivlotam uboche. Moshe saw their suffering and he cried. The Omer, and he said, Chavali aleichem. It's so bad for me about you. Mi yitein moti aleichem. I wish I could die in your place. Shein lecha melacha kasha mimlecha satit. Such a difficult work you're being subjected to. And here's the key line. V'haya noten ketefav. He gave his shoulder. U'misayeya lekol echad ve'echad mehem. And he helped every Jew schlep their burden. So there are two things to learn here. Natan einav vilibo liot meitzar aleihem. He gave his eyes and his heart. What does that mean, he gave his eyes and his heart? Moshe Rabbeinu is in the palace. He is insulated from the Jewish people. The Jewish people are suffering. Vayigdal Moshe vayetze el echav vayar besivlota. He grew. He went out to them. He saw their suffering. He proactively looked and realized what they're going through. He could have been insulated. Natane navilibo. It was a proactive effort to feel and see what they're going through. To, you know, you can see things and just ignore it. You see lots of things going on, and you don't have to pay attention. It doesn't relate to me. It has nothing to do with me. And that's the second vayigdal. Gadol. What is a gadol and what is a katan? So we have on a technical halachic level a katan, somebody below bar mitzvah, gadol after bar mitzvah. But we have other concepts in halacha that recognize that a katan is a person who's dependent on those outside of him. And a gadol is a person who is independent of those outside of him. He goes beyond himself. A katan is very caught up in him or herself. A gadol sees outside, the big picture. Vayigdal, he went out of just being worried about himself. Natan eina v'libo, he proactively went looking to see what they're experiencing. And he felt it. And then, says Rav Volbi, there's a problem here in the Medrash. Because it says that he helped every Jew. He gave his shoulder to help every Jew schlep the burden. Says Rav Volbi, we'll make a very simple mathematical calculation. It's impossible for him to have helped every Jew. There aren't enough hours in the day for him to go around helping every one of those Jews. Says Rav Volbi, what was it? The fact that he cared and they felt that he cared made it easier for them to schlep the burden. But it has to be real caring. It has to be real caring. Years ago, I heard when there was a war here, Saddam Hussein was shooting Scud missiles, and all the Israelis, every time there was a siren, an air raid siren, had to go into a sealed room and put on gas masks. And I was in America at the time, scrambling to get back to Israel to be with my family. And somebody says to me, yes, we really feel the pain of the people in Israel. And then he goes out to eat dinner at a $100 restaurant. No, that's not called feeling the pain. It's very easy to vicariously be far away. Moshe Rabbeinu really felt it. He was in the palace. He was eating $100 plate meals in the palace of the king. But he felt the pain, and the people felt that he felt the pain. And therefore it was easier for them to schlep the burden. That's vayigdal. That's greatness. That's leadership. To really be connected to the people, and the people know you care about them. We go a little further in this week's Parsha, and we come to a very interesting, very strange dialogue. It's an argument between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. And God says, Moshe, you're the man to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And Moshe's arguing that, no, it's not me. I'm not an orator. I don't speak so well. God says, yes, go ahead. Who gives speech? And Moshe keeps refusing. And God then gets upset. And and God's response to Moshe after he really got upset. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. Vayomer, and God's response is, okay, what's your problem? You can't speak, you're not an Ish Dvarim. Separate discussion what that means. Halo Aaron achicha halevi, yadati ki daber yidaber hu. So fine, so we'll send Aaron, his, your brother, he knows how to speak. And he's going out to meet you. He's on the way. So far, so good. And then the pasuk throws in something that is completely irrelevant. Viracha, he's going to see you. V'samach libo, and he's going to be happy. But what, that has nothing to do with anything. Says the Medrash. Why do you think Moshe didn't want to go? Of course he wanted to go. So why was he arguing with God not to go? He was out of respect for Aaron. Shaya Moshe Omer Abshalom Amarati Aya Aaron Achim Mitnabelem V'Mitzrayim Peishanau. Who's been taking care of the Jewish people for the last 80 years while I'm hiding out here in Midian? Aaron. He's been taking care of the Jewish people. Amar Moshe Achshav Ekanes B'Tchumo Shel Achi. I'm just going to prance into Egypt and push him out of the way. V'Yemetzar B'Shvilka. He's going to be pained over this. So Moshe doesn't want to go. Imagine the picture here. The Jewish people are in slavery for 210 years. And God says, Moshe, it's time to take them out. You're the man. And Moshe says to God, yeah, but my brother is going to be upset. Most people would react to that if they were trying to get Moshe to do. And say, excuse me, Moshe, let Aaron get a life. You got to get going. Lo kach lo haya mevakesh leilach. He didn't want to go because he didn't want to upset Aaron. What did God respond? Masha tasavur shehu meitzar lo kenhu ela samach shenemer v'ra'acha v'samach libo. What was God's response? Don't worry, he's happy. So from God's response, you see that if Aaron would have been upset, maybe Moshe had a good claim not to do it. That's also leadership. We have leaders who trample people to climb over them to get to the top. That's not Jewish leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to forego a position of leadership if it's an improper way to behave to other people. The only reason he did it, v'ra'a v'samach libo. You were right in worrying about it. Don't worry. He will be very happy. Now you can go. So when we're looking for leaders, we also have to look, how did they get to positions of leadership? Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, they didn't become leaders because they were elbowing their way into leadership. They were sitting in their little corners, and the people found them and made them leaders. Which leads us to another quality. Got to go fast forward all the way to Sefer Bamidbar in the dispute of Korach. And one of the things that Moshe says in the dispute, and he's talking to the people, Vayichar l'Moshe mo'od vayomer el Hashem, al tefen el minchatam. Please don't listen. Please don't turn to the sacrifices of Korach and his band. And he adds in something that seems not relevant. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati, velo hareoti et echad mehem. I never took anything. I didn't even take a donkey. And the Medrash says that even when he was going, after God told him, go from Midian back to Egypt. So he's already now on company time. Right? He's on a company travel account. He used his own donkey. He didn't take a public donkey, which he was entitled to do. The leader never uses his position of leadership for personal benefit. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. I never gained anything from my position of leadership. Lo chamor echad lakachti. And again, many times leaders, either they're motivated because they see all the benefits that they're going to get from the leadership, or they get sucked in because it's a position of power. And power makes you hungry. And you start benefiting personally. A real leader is there to serve the people and not to benefit for himself. When Moshe Rabbeinu is basically concluding his leadership of the Jewish people, he's not going into the land of Israel. He's going to die beforehand. So he turns to God and he says, Yifkor Hashem Elokei Aruchot L'chol Basar Ish Al Eida. God has to appoint a new leader over the people. Asher Yetze Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem. He's going to go out before them, go take them in, take them out. Asher Yotziem, Asher Yiviem, V'lo Tiadat Hashem Kitzon, Asher In Lem Roeh. that metaphor, by the way, of the sheep. We don't want the Jewish people to be like a flock without a leader. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha Yehoshua ben Nun, take Yehoshua ben Nun, asher ish asher ruach bo, v'samachte et yadav alav, and he appoints Yehoshua. So there is a word that repeats itself there more than once that doesn't seem to be at all relevant to anything we're talking about. Yivkor Hashem Elokei Haruchot. God is called Elokei Haruchot, the God of the Ruach, of the spirits, Ruach represents your spiritual dimension, your personality. And then when Yoshua is introduced, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Kach Lecha Yoshua Ben Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Bo. He has Ruach. Well, what is that? It's not, you know, we talk about Ruach when it comes, it's, you want to get lively and get the music going and dancing. That's also Ruach. This is a different Ruach. Says Rashi, Lama Ne'emar. Why is a God called Elokei HaRuchos? And why is Yehoshua said, Ish Asher Ruach Bo? Says Rashi, Lama Ne'emar Amar Lifan of Ribono Shel Olam. So Moshe says to God, Galui V'yadua Lifanecha Dato Shel Kol Echad Ve'echad. You know the dot, you know the perspective, you know the uniqueness of every of every person. The Einan Domin Zelize. They're not identical. People don't think alike, they don't emote alike, they don't react to things alike, they're not clones of each other. Mene Alehem Manig, you must appoint a leader over them. Sheyehe sovel kol echad the echad lifidato. A leader has to be able to carry, to tolerate, to move with every person lifidato, according to how he is. And what's God's response? Appoint Yehoshua, ish asher ruach bo, says Rashi, kaasher sha'alta. We're going to give you what you asked for. We're going to appoint Yehoshua, who can go with the ruach of every individual person. So an absolute requirement of a leader is the ability to identify the uniqueness of every person and work with them and bring out the best in them. We can imagine a leader, a true leader, like a conductor of a symphony orchestra. You have to be able to know what every piece brings to the table, how to bring out the best of every instrument, know how to time it. You can imagine that you have a play, and if you don't have a good director, people start coming on the stage and say their lines in the wrong time, and everything collapses. A good leader knows how to take all of the elements of the people he's leading, bring out the best in, first of all, identify the power and potential of each one, and then bring out the best in each one. That's asher ruach bo. That they have that ability to work with every individual, not to try to impose on every individual the leader's agenda, but to work with the people to bring out the communal agenda. What does the community need? A culture of leadership has two opposing, conflicting forces. A person wants autonomy. A person wants a sense of power and independence. And that can generate a person wanting to be a leader. And on the other hand, a person may abdicate to leaders and say, you know what, I don't really care, I don't know very much, let somebody else tell me what to do. Well, you're being led, but that's not a very positive thing, because that's coming out of a negative place. You're lazy, you don't really care. Blindly following is an abdication of responsibility. What is a positive dynamic of those two elements? Instead of personal autonomy, you're looking for personal responsibility. You have to be responsible, first and foremost, for yourself. And then you have to take responsibility to follow leaders who are appropriate. But to do that, you also have to forego a certain ego. Because there's a reaction, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, if you're not part of the klal and part of the tzibur, and you're not being led by appropriate leaders, so then there's also no leadership there. You have to identify the projects and the goals, find the leaders that can help actualize those goals, and then follow those leaders. But not following those leaders with an abdication of your own responsibility. There's a syndrome. Rather than thinking for ourselves, we'll just ask the rabbi. We'll just ask the gadol. We'll just ask somebody to tell me what to do. Rav Dessler speaks about this in Chelek Gimel. He talks about it in a different context, but he's like just slips it in almost by the way. He had a very, very difficult issue in education in Israel. And he wasn't exactly sure. And it was back and forth. And after clarifying all of the issues, he then went to the Chazon Ish to ask the Chazon Ish for a determination on the final sensitive issue. And Rav Dessler writes there that it was not my custom to waste the Chazon Ish's time on anything that I could reach the conclusion myself. And therefore I only went to the Chazon Ish for this question because it was really something that was not something I could determine for myself. Okay, but so that tells you also, leadership doesn't mean just letting everybody else tell you what to do. You have to lead yourself, you have to think, and you have to, it's an interaction of a personal responsibility and foregoing your ego and your personal autonomy for a leader who's worthy of leading you and for the sake of the project that the leader is leading you in. There's one other aspect of leadership. When the Chumash tells us about how when you have a problem, there's a dispute, you have to go al kamta ve'alita la kohen v'hashofet asher yeh bayamim hay. You have to go to the leaders of that generation. We're in a vacuum of leadership. There's no question about it. The leaders today, most of them are not what we expect. Okay, but we have to find the leaders that are appropriate and realize that they're the leaders of our generation or our community, and we have to follow them at whatever level they are, what level we deserve. We heard from Rabbi Bulman Zatzal many years ago a story from the Chatam Sofer. Chatam Sofer was a very powerful leader of his community. And he had a rabbinic friend who asked the Chatam Sofer a very, very troubling question. I see that everything you tell your community to do, they listen to you. What's the secret? What's the magic that your community listens to everything you say? And the Chatam Sofer says, I never ask them to do something that they're not capable of doing. He was in touch with his community. And it's that fine balance of always looking to grow and to do more, but knowing not to ask them to do what's beyond their capacity. When you're leading yourselves, you have to have that dynamic, that balance. You always have to look to grow, but always know what you're capable of doing. You have to be an isha sheruach bo on yourself, and you have to be following leaders who have that sensitivity that on the one hand want you to grow, and on the other hand are not making unrealistic demands. We need leaders. We have to be leaders. This is the parsha that introduces us to the greatest leader we ever had, Moshe Rabbeinu. Lots of lessons to learn as we become both producers of leadership as well as proper consumers of leadership.